From NPR News in Washington, I'm Barbara Klein. Southern Sudan is preparing to vote tomorrow on whether to become independent and create the world's newest nation. From the southern capital of Juba, NPR's Frank Langfitt reports there's excitement over the future and bitterness about the past war with the North.
Among the millions registered to vote over the next week in southern Sudan, most are expected to go for secession. Angelo Ding, a former rebel child soldier, says he'll vote that way. One reason, his anger over more than two decades of war with the Arab North.
When I was a young boy at home, when the Arabs came to raid our village, they burned my grandfather. 200 people were burned alive.
An even bigger reason many Southerners want independence is because they want control over their resources, including a majority of Sudan's oil. Most Southerners complained that the North siphoned off revenue from the South, then ignored its development. Frank Langfitt, NPR News, Juba, Southern Sudan.
Authorities in and around Washington, D.C. are on alert for more incendiary packages to turn up in mailrooms. NPR's Jamie Tarabay reports officials are growing more concerned after a third package ignited at a post office in downtown D.C.
Three similar packages smoked and ignited in the last week, all addressed to officials and all discovered by government employees. The latest at a postal facility in Washington, D.C., was addressed to Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano. No one was seriously injured in any of the three incidents. One of the others, addressed to Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley, included a message complaining about highway signs urging motorists to report any suspicious activity. The packages have been taken to the FBI lab in Quantico for forensic analysis. Officials say there wasn't any explosive material in the packages, but won't say how the devices inside worked. Jamie Tarabay, NPR News.
A court ruling in Massachusetts could spark more uncertainty in the housing markets and slow foreclosures across the country. Massachusetts' highest court has reaffirmed a lower court decision that ruled some mortgage foreclosure sales made by U.S. Bancorp and Wells Fargo were invalid because the banks failed to prove they actually owned the mortgages at the time of the foreclosures. Mike Calhoun is with the Center for Responsible Lending, an industry watchdog.
It's an important decision that holds basic principle that the banks, like everyone else, have to follow the law and that they can't take people's homes unless they make sure that they are doing so properly.
Banks say they're not foreclosing on anyone who ultimately shouldn't face foreclosure. But last fall, some lower-level bank employees, often called robo-signers, were found to be processing hundreds of foreclosure documents every day, often without reading them. This is NPR News. Police in Mexico say at least 14 decapitated bodies have been found in Acapulco. They say the bodies of men aged between 15 and 25 were discovered near a shopping center in the beach resort town. Officials say two messages were left with the bodies but haven't released details. Acapulco is in a region where one of Mexico's most violent drug cartels controls the drug trade. Authorities now say that a Mexican teenager who was throwing rocks at U.S. Border Patrol agents died of a gunshot wound. As NPR's Ted Robbins reports, that contradicts earlier reports on the teen's death on Wednesday.
At first, city officials in Nogales, Sonora said Ramses Baron Torres died Wednesday when he fell off the top of the border fence between Nogales, Mexico, and Nogales, Arizona, and hit his head. But an autopsy showed that the 17-year-old was shot. Rock throwing at Border Patrol agents is common near the fence. One report says the agents were trying to arrest drug smugglers in the area when bystanders began throwing rocks. A Border Patrol spokesman says an agent who fired a gun during the incident has been placed on leave. Ted Robbins, NPR News, Tucson.
More rain is falling in Australia's already flooded state of Queensland, and forecasters warn rain could continue through the middle of next week. Flash flood warnings have been issued for Australia's third largest city of Brisbane. Floodwaters are now threatening the neighboring state of New South Wales. Australian Prime Minister Julia Gillard toured the region today by helicopter for the first time since the region was covered in flood water, and she's pledging financial support and warns recovery will be slow. I'm Barbara Klein, NPR News in Washington.